Amen.
Yeah. Sorry. Apologize for that.
Hello. Hello. So, the worship team leader asked me to say as soon as I came up that I asked them to do that last. So, I asked for that. And during this time, I would hope that you would. I looked behind and I saw the look of horror on Steve's face. So like, what is this? So I'd just like you to remember that as we go through this sermon, please. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you and we praise you for the fact that we can meet here together. We thank you for the privilege of having your presence with us. Lord, come and talk to us, please. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. The title of my message today is In the Shadow of God, and it's subtitled Bezalel. For those in the know, I'm sorry if that's not the way you pronounce it, but that's how Google told me to pronounce it. So the only reason it's called In the Shadow of God is because I couldn't call it Last Sunday, Part 2. You know, because last Sunday, I'll go through what we talked about last Sunday as well, but last Sunday really spoke to me, and I took loads of notes, and I'll just talk about them. So this guy, Bezalel, I've been working through Exodus, and I came across two people that I want to talk about. But before we launch into Bezalel, I want to remind us of a verse that might be familiar to some of us. Psalm 91:1 says, "Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty." Now, Bezalel's name means in the shadow of God. And Psalm 91:1 says that whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of God Almighty. So to me, Bezalel's name speaks of rest. Because he was in the shadow of God, he was resting in the shadow of God. And the other person I'd like to talk about later on is someone called Oholiab, and his name means father's tent. And that talks about dwelling as well. Some of you might be thinking, okay, that's all well and good, but who are these people? We are going to go into who they are, and we are going to go into Exodus 33 soon. But before we get into Exodus 33, I'd just like to talk about the events that led up to Exodus 33. Moses has gone up to Mount Sinai to get the commandments. So actually Moses, if you read, he went up about eight different times to Mount Sinai. So this particular time, God told Moses, you know, I've given you the Ten Commandments, now come up. I've written them on tablets of stone, so come up and get these Ten Commandments. So this is the occasion I'm talking about, just before in Exodus 33. And God calls Moses up in Exodus 24 to give him the stone tablets. But while he's up there, God also gives him a lot of the pattern of how his dwelling on this earth or with the Israelites will be. So God wanted the Israelites to build him a tabernacle, which is where he was going to be dwelling while he was with them. So when Moses went up in from Exodus 24 to get the tablets of stone, God also gave him specific instructions from 25 to from chapter 25 to chapter 30, God is telling him, this is how I want the tabernacle to look. This is how I want the altar of incense. This is how I want the mercy seat to look. This is how I want the robes to look. So God went into a lot of detail. And at about this time, I'm imagining Moses is standing there thinking, wow, I have so much detail of how to build the tabernacle. How am I going to do this? Then, in Exodus 33, then the Lord said to Moses, see, I have chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with wisdom, with understanding, with knowledge, and with all kinds of skills, to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of crafts. Moreover, I have appointed Oholiab, son of Ahisamach of the tribe of Dan, to help him. Also, I have given ability to all the skilled workers to make everything I have commanded you. Verse 7 to 11, the tent of meeting, the ark of the covenant law with the atonement cover on it, and all the other furnishings of the tent, the table and its articles, the pure gold lampstand and all its accessories, the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offering and all its utensils, the basin with its stand, and also the woven garments, both the sacred garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments for his sons when they serve as priests, and the anointing oil and fragrant incense for the holy place. They are to make them just as I commanded you. Just a little recap of what I said. Before this chapter, from chapter 25 until 33, God had been giving Moses, had set out in Moses the pattern of all these things, how he's supposed to build the tent of meeting, the table, the altar of burnt offerings, and everything. He put it in detail. And then it is now that God tells Moses, actually, I have told you all these things, but don't worry, it's not you who's supposed to do it. It's somebody called Bezalel. The interesting thing is, as I said, Moses had gone up there to get the tablets of stone that contained the Ten Commandments, but then also gave him instructions on how to build the tabernacle where he would dwell. So he was talking about, yes, I've given you the law, but I also want relationship with you because I want to dwell with you, and this is how I want you to do it. Now, in verse 2, it says, see, I have chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God. This is the first time that we see in the Old Testament that somebody has been filled with the Spirit of God. And usually, yes, it's 31. I'm so sorry. This is chapter 31. I'm very sorry. Chapter 31. So, this is the first time that we see that he has been filled with the Spirit of God. Someone has been filled with the Spirit of God. And usually you would have thought, oh, if somebody has been filled with the Spirit of God, it's to, you know, to be a great preacher, to be a great worship leader, to, you know, raise people from the dead. But God says, I have filled him with the Spirit of God to be a carpenter, to be make tables for me, to be my interior decorator. So it wasn't like, you know, just as Haman here was saying, know Jesus, be Jesus. No, know Jesus, show Jesus, be Jesus. So sometimes you can think, oh, it's to do with big things, you know, being in the worship team, speaking or something. But every small thing counts. And last Sunday, one of the things that Andrew said, he said, only God knows what he has called you to, and he is the one who can empower you. And here we see a perfect example of a man who God had raised up and had filled him with the Spirit of God. just to do what he had been called.
Sorry, going the wrong way.
Now, I said earlier that Bezalel's name means in the shadow of God, and that talks about resting. And the reason why he could rest was because he knew how to lean into his gifting. He knew what he was called to. He was called to be, make these artistic things. He wasn't trying to be someone different. And the Bible says in James 1:17 that every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. And 1 Peter 4:10 to 11 also says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. As I said, if you are looking at Bezalel's gift from a worldly point of view, you wouldn't think that, oh, that's a gift that is from the Holy Spirit. He's making chairs. Anyone can make chairs. He's making, you know, crafts. But God had filled him with the Spirit. And this says every single one of us has gifts that God has given us to serve others. You know. So, for example, Beth came up here and said something about she's getting a gem because she gives more than 100% all the time. What she doesn't know is about 3 or 4 years ago, she's probably forgotten it. When the Spirit of God came on her, she went, I think, to the beach, collected some pebbles, and painted them gold. She gave me one of them. I still have it in my bag. She has no idea what I was going through that week, 4 weeks ago. She has no idea what that little gold pebble that she picked up and painted gold and gave me meant. She gave it to several people, but you know, it was so small, but she has no idea what it did to me. So we never know what the things that God has called us to do, you know, to people, how they encourage people. But there's also another person that I want to talk about in the area of the arts. This guy is someone called Michelangelo, if some of you might know him. He was a great artist, and he was a great sculptor. He was a great architect. Well, there's not much he couldn't do. But he painted the Sistine Chapel. I haven't been, but people who have been there have told me it's amazing. And that's one of the main things that he did. And when he started, when he was a kid, from about 6 years old, he was painting, doing sculpture, doing all those things since he was a kid. And at the age of 87, he said, I am still learning. You know. And another thing he said is, he said, if people knew how hard I worked to get my mastery, it would not seem so wonderful at all. So even though God had given Bezalel these gifts of being able to be a master craftsman, if Bezalel had just stayed at home, you know, not bothering to pick up a hammer, not bothering to go and learn from teachers or whatever he did to hone his craft, he would not have been able to get into that stuff that God had given him and had put in his heart. But he honed his gift. And he knew, was able to lean in, and because of that, he was able to serve so that he could become the chief architect of the building of the tabernacle. The other thing about Bezalel is that he knew how to work in a team. So now let's jump to Exodus 35, 30 to 35. It says, then Moses said to the Israelites, see, the Lord has chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and he has filled him with the Spirit of God with wisdom, with understanding, with knowledge, and with all kinds of skills, to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of artistic crafts. And he has given both him and Oholiab, son of Ahisamach of the tribe of Dan, the ability to teach others. He has filled them with skill to do all kinds of work as engravers, designers, embroiderers in blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, and fine linen, and weavers, all of them skilled workers and designers. Move on to 37. This is Exodus 37. 1-3, Exodus 37, 1-3. So Bezalel, Oholiab, and every skilled person to whom the Lord has given skill and ability to know how, 36, I'm so sorry. This is Exodus 36, 1-3, Exodus 36, 1-3. So Bezalel, Oholiab, and every skilled person to whom the Lord has given skill and ability to know how to carry out all the work of constructing the sanctuary, are to do the work just as the Lord has commanded. Then Moses summoned Bezalel and Oholiab and every skilled person to whom the Lord has given ability and who was willing to come and do the work. You see that? Who was willing to come and do the work. Some had the ability, but they weren't willing to come. They received from Moses all the offerings of the Israelites had brought to carry out the work of constructing the sanctuary. And the people continued to bring freewill offerings morning after morning. And this is 36:47. Exodus 36:47. So all the skilled workers who were doing all the work on the sanctuary left what they were doing and said to Moses, "The people are bringing more than enough for doing the work the Lord commanded to be done." Then Moses gave an order, and they sent this word throughout the camp. No man or woman is to make anything else as an offering for the sanctuary. And so the people were restrained from bringing more because what they already had was more than enough to do all the work. Wow. That's what we pray for. But I'd just like to go back to Exodus 30 to 35, when it's just talking about Bezalel's heritage. He was the son of Uri, the son of Hur. Now, his grandfather Hur, there is something whereby in Exodus 18, the Israelites were fighting against the Amalekites, and Moses had to hold his hands up. Every time he held his hands up, the Israelites were winning. When he put his hands down, the Israelites started to lose. So he needed someone to help him hold his hands up. So on one hand, he had Aaron, his brother, holding up his hands. And on the other hand, he had her holding up his other hand. So that he had his brother and Bezalel's grandfather holding up his hand. So Bezalel came from a place of servanthood. You know, his family served people, but also he was one who was teaching people, because God had given Moses such detailed instructions for everything about to do with the tabernacle. And Bezalel and Oholiab were not going to be able to do them on their own. So they taught other people. They were not like in control. Oh, I know how to do everything. I can do everything. But they taught people so that they could bring in the team. But what is amazing is in Exodus 36, verse 7, where they said, 6 to 7, when they stopped people from bringing in any more because they had more than enough. Each day, each week, we have people coming up here saying, we don't have enough people, for example, in toddler group or in stargazers or whatever. How amazing it would be to say, stop coming. We have too many people. But that was the situation that they faced. They had more than enough. And small plug, we have the vision night next week, 2020. Please come. I know what God is calling you to do in the team so that we can have more than enough to do the work. You know, please come. So that was amazing. But also, the other thing about the teamwork, if you remember this song, first of all, to put this song on, this bad, bad song on, it required teamwork. But usually the reason why we can stand up and worship and enjoy our songs is because the team works together and they are not pulling against each other, because that's how it sounds like when people are pulling against each other. But it took every single person to do it. And just like to dip into Numbers 10, 11 to 14, it says, on the 20th day of the second month of the second year, the cloud lifted from above the tabernacle of the covenant law. Then the Israelites sent out from the desert of Sinai and traveled from place to place until the cloud came to rest in the desert of Paran. They set out, this time at the Lord's command, through Moses. The divisions of the camp of Judah went first under their standard. And then, on verse 25, finally, as the rear guard for all the units, the divisions of the camp of Dan sent out under their standards. Find it interesting, because we are told Bezalel came from Judah, and his second in command, Oholiab, came from the tribe of Dan. And when they were leaving the desert to start going out towards Canaan, who was at the start? The start was Judah. The end was Dan. All kinds of people in there. I just think maybe I'm reading too much into it. It's all kinds of people, you know, from the tribe of Judah to the tribe of Dan. Every single person, as we saw, God has given us gifts. And about working in teams, last week, Clive led us in some prayers of repentance. And one of the things he said, let's repent of our independence and our lack of humility. And, you know, I am a good team worker. I will work in a team very well. But sometimes I don't like asking people for help. And I'm like, oh, no, it's because I don't like disturbing people. But God has been showing me recently, sometimes that's just to do with pride, because you want to do it all, you know. But the reason why Bezalel was able to rest in God's shadow is because he knew how to work in a team. He knew how to delegate. He knew how to not suffer burnout. And, you know, he knew that God had put people in his life and he had given them also skills to help him out. The last thing I think that helped Bezalel stay in a place of rest was he knew how to be under authority. If we then fast forward to Exodus 39, which is the end of the finished building the tabernacle. It says in verse 42, the Israelites had done all the work just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Moses inspected the work and saw that they had done it just as the Lord had commanded. So Moses blessed them. If you see 42, the Israelites had done all the work just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Now, the Bible doesn't say so, but I don't think that Moses was skilled in any kind of craft work. He might have been. But I have a feeling that even the lowest apprentice on this project of building the tabernacle might have had more skills artistically than Moses. But they didn't go about thinking, I know better than Moses. I can do whatever I want. You know, the Lord said, make it 60 cubits. No, it looks a bit nicer if it were 65. They all knew how to be under the authority. They said the Israelites had done all the work just as the Lord had commanded Moses. You know, and it's not because Moses, they knew how to be under authority. And I don't think it's because they thought Moses was, you know, infallible. They had seen him get angry. They knew probably that he was a murderer. And even some of their leaders, you see, like Aaron. So in verse 31, thank you for correcting me, where we started that, in verse 31, that is when God actually told Moses that I've given these people called Bezalel and Oholiab to help you with building the tabernacle. Just when he went down from the mountain, from Sinai, he found a golden calf that one of the elders, his brother Aaron, who was helping raise up his hand, had built because he was a people-pleasing person. So they did not follow what Moses had commanded because they thought he was perfect. And you see, I hear sometimes Christians talk about big Christian leaders in quotes. Oh, this person is amazing. This person is amazing, whatever. And sometimes I think it's because you do not know them. You know, you've never seen them get angry. You've never seen their faults. That's why you think they're perfect. Unfortunately, if you get close enough to our leaders, our elders, you will find their infallibilities. Doesn't mean that you're not supposed to be under their authority. And each one of us, I'm sure, could come up with harrowing tales of bad church leadership, of how people have been heavy-handed and unbiblical ways of leadership. But the biblical thing is, as Andrew said last week, he said, God does not do deals. I'd like to remind us that this is a kingdom of God. And every time Jesus said, he said the kingdom of God, he could have said the democracy of God. Democracy existed when Jesus was alive. He says the kingdom of God. And God institutes eldership or leadership for us. I'll take you back to the song we started with at the start that the worship team helped me do. They were singing the same song, but in a different key. Because each one thought, no, I have my guitar, I play better in the key of E. And someone is like, no, I sing better in the key of D. Sorry if these keys don't exist. I'm not a musician. But every single person, and that is how we sound when God gives leaders what he wants us to do, but we think we know better because we know this leader. Oh, this leader is not amazing, failed in this part. I know better. That is how we sound, seriously. For example, I know how to be under leadership. I'm in the catering team, and we have a leader. She insists on being called Major General Alexander, and we have to salute her all the time, you know, give her back rubs, foot rubs, you know. You can't look her in the eye. You can't breathe near her because she's like, if you breathe near me, you might give me germs or something like that. But you wouldn't believe the work. So, for example, we have the vision night next week. You wouldn't believe the work that goes into just preparing a meal for 60-plus people. And I've seen Mary and Anita be here the night before and come in early at 7, and then someone waltz in at 1 o'clock, sit down, and it takes them 30 seconds to complain about something. If you think I'm joking, ask them. So lesbian people would know how to be under authority, how to lift up our leadership, because that's how God does things. Unfortunately, this is a kingdom of God, not a democracy, and God is not into making deals. And that is how we rest, really. So I'm coming to an end. Just like to remind us of what I said. Just wanted to talk about Bezalel, whose name means in the shadow of God. And I think the reason why he was able to rest and be in the shadow of God is because he knew his gifting. He knew what he was called to do. He leant into that. And also he knew how to work in a team. He wasn't getting burnt out because he let people come alongside him to help him and to lift him up. But also he knew how to be under authority. Although he's the one who God had given the spirit for all the artistic endeavors, he didn't consider himself greater than Moses. He did what the Lord had commanded Moses because he knew that was the structure. Thank you very much.